Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 10, day 4 of our study of James and 1st and 2nd Peter. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and today we're talking about 2nd Peter 3, 10 through 18. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you're blessed by the 10-week Bible study and you've asked yourself, how can I support this ministry? We do have a Patreon page where you are free to make any or no contribution that you feel led to do. And that is at patreon.com/10weekbible or links are in the description. All right, would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. So going back to our conversation yesterday, Peter is talking about the judgment that's coming against the wicked people, and he's been talking about wicked people who have been in churches in different places in chapter 2 and chapter 3, charlatans and people using people for their own wicked lusts and desires. He's talking about, the Lord is going to come and bring justice and judgment against these people. And now he's giving us a little window into how he's going to describe that's going to look. And it's like, oh my, the heavens will disappear with a roar. That sounds scary, and it should, because it's going to terrify the inhabitants of the earth. John, in the book of Revelation, makes this very clear that everyone on earth is going to tremble in fear when they begin to see all of this stuff. He says that the wealthiest and the strongest and the most powerful leaders on earth will go and hide in caves and say, please let the cave fall on us so we can stop seeing these terrifying things that the Lord God is doing. That's going to be for real. Jesus, on the other hand, tells us, hey, this is going to happen. And when it happens, don't be afraid. You believers, you people who hear my voice that believe in me and follow me, you don't need to fear this. This isn't for you. This is not a thing that's intended for you. Very often when, we're driving my family in the car and I have to get on to one of my children, if I don't specifically name that child, I say, hey, you quit it. Cut it out. Stop that. Don't do that. My son has a very keen eye for justice. He's always like, but Dad, I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't doing it. It was the girls. It was them. It was whatever. And so I was at the point, I understand that. I understand that, son. I'm not talking to you. I was talking to them. And I think a lot of people's perception of the end times and Revelation, all the things, all the crazy things that are going to go down in the end times, a lot of people have the same misunderstanding of those things that my son does in the car. Is I shout, hey, stop it. You guys, I'm sick of hearing that, or don't do that, or you're distracting me while I'm driving. You are a parent, or you had a parent and you experience those kind of things in the car. You get what I'm talking about. A lot of people suffer from that same kind of thing with the book of Revelation, as you see all of the judgments that are being poured out and fail to realize that these are not intended for you. These are intended for the ones that are perpetrating the violence and the wickedness on planet Earth. Just in the same way in Egypt, during the book of Exodus, the plagues that God sent against the Egyptians were not intended for the Israelites. And most all of them, except for the first couple potentially, did not touch the Israelites at all. The Lord made a distinction between them. In the same way, all of these things are not intended for believers, those who name the name of Jesus, who pledge allegiance to him. They're intended for the wicked on the earth, the kinds of people that Peter has been describing in these chapters. So when we look at the end times, we need to understand that. And I do believe the Lord has been more specific than me, just randomly saying to the kid, stop it. It's been specific, but it's a human nature thing. It's easy to say, oh my gosh, look at these judgments, The Lord Lord, this is terrifying. Jesus says, you know, when you see the heaven, you see the stars, cease to give their light, don't be afraid. Don't fear that. You who believe in me, who put your trust in me, you don't need to fear this. All of these things that are coming, I've told you about them. In fact, when you start to see them, you should get excited because you know that his appearing, Jesus' appearing, is that much closer. And so with that in mind, let's continue reading here what he says in verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, pause there. He's saying that you're looking forward. The people that he's speaking to here, Peter, he's saying they're looking forward to the heavens being destroyed in a roar. They're looking forward to all of this calamity and the earth being destroyed by fire. Why are you looking forward to this? Because you know the day of Jesus is appearing. All right, skipping back to verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt with heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So again, Peter is encouraging us to live holy, godly lives. That means when we sin, we jump right back up and we repent, we run back to God. And incidentally, that actually causes you to begin to sin less. There's so much freedom in being able to repent that you actually become a much worse sinner. It actually makes sinning a lot harder to do when you're in the habit of living that way. So Peter's saying, listen, because we know this is coming, how should we live now? And there's a lot of people that say, you know, that person's so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Nothing could be further from the truth. The people who ponder on the end times, people who ponder on what's coming in the end times and eternity, they end up being of the most earthly good. Revelation promises us a blessing if we read it, the book of Revelation. And so thinking about the end times are a good thing to do. And Peter is saying here, listen, those of you that are informed of this and understanding and you know what's coming, you're actually looking forward to it. He's saying, you know, since we know it's coming, how should we live? We should live well. And like I read, jumped to four a minute ago in verse 14, is, you know, he's saying we're looking forward to this. And here in verse 12, he says, we're looking forward to it. And we're speeding the coming of the day of the Lord, meaning we're praying for it. We're praying for the Lord to bring these plagues on the earth. We're praying for the Lord to bring perfect justice once and for all. Because there's a day that's coming, where there's a new heaven and an earth, new earth where righteousness dwells, and there is no more injustice. There's no more pain. There's no more tears. There's only perfect justice. We're looking forward to that day. So no, we're not looking forward to the death and destruction and all this craziness. We're looking forward to justice. That's what we're looking forward to. And we know that it's going to take pain. It's going to take difficulty to get to that perfect justice. But we see a glimpse, a glimmer of that perfect justice. And the more we live clean and holy, the more we see, oh my gosh, I love righteousness. I so want that perfect righteousness. Living in righteousness is so much better than everything else. I want that for me and everyone else on planet Earth. And that causes us to say, Lord, I don't see a way out of this just unrighteousness and nastiness on planet Earth until you come. Would you please come? That's what Peter's talking about hastening the day of his return. We long for that righteousness to reign on planet Earth. And so we say, like John says in the book of Revelation at the end, he says, even so, even though all of this is true, even though all of this craziness that's going to happen in the end times, even though it's true, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Peter is saying the same thing, is echoing the same thing here. Even though we know all of this is true, come quickly. We want to hasten the day. We want you to come sooner than even you're planning to, Lord. Make it quick. Bring justice here on the earth. All right, again, back to 14. So then, dear friends, Since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. So here is plain speaking Peter, acknowledging, yes, I get it. Paul writes deep. He writes things that are deep. Doesn't mean that they're not true. It doesn't mean that they're pie in the sky spiritual nonsense. They're true. He just writes deep. I write clear. I write plain. That's kind of the way things are. When you look at what we see of Peter in the Gospels, you know, we see the guy that's jumping out of the water to walk on the water. We see the guy that's willing to cast the nets on the other side because Jesus said to. We see the guy that's like, you know, Jesus, I would never deny you. And the guy that cuts the person's ear off. We see this doer. Peter, I'm sure, was a brilliant individual. And so I don't want to take anything away from him as a thinking person. But, you know, when we think of thinkers and doers, and Paul, again, on the flip side, Paul was definitely a doer. But, you know, when we just box them into these very small little boxes here, you know, you got a doer in Peter and a thinker in Paul. And so Paul is, we know that he was a much more educated person. And so his writing style and just the way he thinks and the way he writes is much more difficult to ascertain at times, much more figurative in places. And Paul alludes to so many other things that you have to understand the references to. And Peter just says it straight. Peter just says it clear. Peter's the hard charger and Paul is the thinker. And again, they're both brilliant people, both doers, both thinkers, both of these people. I don't want to take anything away from that, but I see maybe a glimmer of a smirk in Peter's eyes as he's writing or, you know, dictating this to someone. Is that I get it. I get it. I've read Paul's stuff too, and it's challenging. But the powerful thing that he says here about Paul's writings is he says that they distort what Paul says as they do the other scriptures. Peter is putting Paul's words, he's calling them scripture. That's exactly what he's doing. That is so powerful. Peter is calling the words in that contemporary time, the words that Paul wrote, as scripture. And that is a powerful thing to understand. But don't put down scripture. That's another point here. Peter says, you know, there's people that are putting it down and mocking it and saying bad things about it. And it's going to lead to their destruction. So don't do that. So when you look at scripture, even if you don't like it, don't put it down. You can be honest with the Lord about how you feel about it. It's like, Lord, I don't like this. This is hard. Tell him that. But don't go around telling other people, it's like, nah, you know, this book, that's not really the Bible. That's not really God's word or whatever. That's not a good plan. Not a good plan. Like Peter says here, they say that to their own destruction. So don't be in that camp. Verse 17, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guards that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawlessness and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So this holy living, this righteous living, this is not just a request. It's not just a good thing to do. It is necessary for our life in God. And again, righteousness, holy living, it is not never sinning. It is getting up, calling sin, sin, repenting and running back to God, asking for forgiveness and repenting. Repenting means turning and going the other direction. So that is our act of running back to God. That is holiness. Because when you do that, like I've said before, you will look different. Because normal looks like sinning, wallowing in it, and then deciding, hey, it's not really sin because there's lots of other people that do it. And you know, it's not that bad, you know? It's not that bad. There's other people that do worse stuff. Justifying what we do, justifying our sin, that's normal. Calling it sin and repenting of it and then and then turning back to God, that looks very different. You will look holy if you live that way. And that is what Peter is calling us to. And incidentally, like I've said before, the added bonus is the more you do that, the more difficult it becomes to sin. It makes it harder to say yes over time. You become an unsuccessful sinner. Doesn't mean you won't continue to sin, but it sure does get easier to say no when you've lived a lifestyle of repentance. That is what Peter is calling us to. Live a lifestyle of repentance. Don't be one of these terrible people that are destined for destruction. That's kind of like the clear path that Peter's laid out for us. And I think that's pretty good advice. And so with that, we've finished our study of James and 1st and 2nd Peter. Thanks for going on it with us. Our next podcast will be a short recap of these three books. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. I can't wait to see you next time.